The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." As Jesus passed along the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, who were in the boat mending their nets. Immediately they called them, and then they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. They say that opposites attract. And I've noticed that to be true. I know it is in my own family. I mean, my wife is a very neat and clean person, and, well, I'm a slob. And when we met, she was just this pure little angelic woman, and I'm me. And, well, I'm up here preaching, and she would probably rather have every eyelash plucked one by one than be up in front of people. So, like I said, opposites attract. But the same really doesn't hold true when you're dealing with seminarians and their supervisors. That's not what the seminary looks for in a supervisor, because this person is going to be sort of a model of ministry over the next several years. You see, that's why for the first 2 years, every seminarian is sent off into a parish where he or she can sort of learn to do worship and make visits and to conduct meetings and do all the things in ministry. And so it would make sense that the supervisor would be at least a little bit like the seminarian, and so it could be a good model for him. And this is the way it usually works. Unless, of course, the seminarian decides a couple months into his seminary career that the commute to Georgetown is too much, and so after the assignments have already been given out, he decides, "Oh, I think I'll live in Columbia now." And so they don't send this person to a good match. They send them to a place that doesn't have somebody already, to a supervisor who just breathes in and out. And that's how we got Josh. I'll never forget that first day that he showed up. You know, this lost seminarian wearing a clerical collar and his wonderfully shy wife with this cute little girl who's a carbon copy of her daddy except for the cute part that was equally unbashful. And since that day, Josh proceeded to ruin any future seminarian who comes to Pisgah Lutheran Church. Because out of the gate, he knew what he was doing. I don't know what they did at Advanced Auto Parts, but the seminary probably ought to consider bringing it into the curriculum, because this guy is like a seasoned veteran. That first day he showed up, we were having our fall festival that evening, and so I invited him. I said, "Josh, Lexi may really enjoy this. Y'all come on out." And so we did. I really didn't expect him to, and then there was something that he didn't expect, because I was dressed up as Martin Luther that day. And so Josh comes around the corner to find me wearing a wig like this, only a little better, and a brown robe. And to his credit, Josh did not close his eyes, put his head down, and shake it back and forth. He just smiled and greeted me. That, however, was the last time I got that reaction out of Josh anytime that I was doing something silly. Because the reality is, he and I have been exact opposites the entire time he was here. And it's been wonderful. A couple months into his field work, our youth director, who was a senior seminarian, was going home to Ohio for Christmas break, which was about 6 weeks long, and our deacon, Deborah Poole, was going on sabbatical, and so we needed somebody to work with the youth. And so I approached Josh, and he reluctantly said, "Okay." I mean, it was a paying gig after all, and, you know, seminaries aren't exactly rolling in money and can't afford to turn jobs down, but he was a little concerned. He said, "I really don't like teenagers, and I'm afraid somebody's going to mouth off and I'm going to kill them." Well, the truth is, Josh didn't kill anybody, thankfully, but they loved him. and he loved them. And it turns out that once again, Josh found out that he was gifted at something in ministry. Since that time, he started coming to our staff meetings. And that's where we find that Josh was a really big, smart assessor. Because I tend to get off topic a little bit in meetings. And so during these staff meetings, he would stand up and he would write rabbit hole on the whiteboard. And then proceed to write up every single rabbit hole that we would go down during the meetings. And so for the rest of the week, church members would come in and see sushi, football, bears on the wall and wonder what in the world their staff was doing. Those were just the many rabbit holes that we would go down. See, Josh wasn't just our seminarian. He became our fellow staff member. He became our ministry partner. He became our friend. And now, in a few minutes, I look forward to finally being able to call him colleague. Of course, none of us are surprised that this day was finally going to get here. I knew it from the day I met him. This is what Josh was called to be. Well, everybody may not be exactly right. I'm sure Josh had his questions along the way. While he was sitting there working at Advanced Auto, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes in like Jesus did in our gospel lesson and says, "Follow me." And when you know it, those four disciples immediately followed. They dropped everything and just went. Wouldn't it have been nice, Josh, if you could have followed immediately? But instead, there was a whole long laundry list of things that Josh had to do first. First, he had to go to college and graduate. Then he had to go through a psychological and the entrance into seminary. Then he had Greek. And then there were all the classes. Then there was CPE, and wasn't that a treat? Then there was endorsement and internship and approvals. And then the being made to be a mission developer. And then there was the approval process. And then there was the call and graduation. Well, sort of. But now it all comes down to today. The ordination of Joshua Robert Knudsen. It's finally here. Now, it becomes easy. Now, the Jesus that you followed has called you to invite others to follow. And just as Jesus invited them, just as you will invite others, just as Simon Peter, Andrew, James, and John immediately got out of their boats and followed, there will be people that just immediately go and follow you. Yeah, right. If only it were that easy. I mean, the reality is, Josh, in ministry, there will be times when you, like Moses, come along and find a burning bush. And you're like, "Whoa, this is the coolest idea ever. I can't believe that the Holy Spirit gave me this idea." And you're going to do everything Tony ever told you to in that one class, right? You're going to step aside. And you're going to do all of your due diligence because that's who you are. You're going to do all the studying and the research. And you're going to talk to the right people. And you're going to find out and make sure that this idea is going to be just perfect. And then you're going to take off your shoes because you realize this is holy ground. And so you're going to pray about it, and you're going to talk to God and ask Him, make sure that this is the best idea ever. And then you're going to present it to your people. And guess what? And you're going to want them to immediately jump out of the boat, and they're going to follow you, right? And so you're going to be walking along, leading them, and then you're going to turn around and realize nobody's there. And guess what? If you're leading, nobody's following, you ain't leading. Because you ain't Jesus. And the people that you're calling to follow are fallen broken sinners, just like you. And that's the challenge of it all. You have been called to bring good news to fallen broken sinners. And it's not an easy gig all the time. Never has been. Just ask St. Paul. You know, the original mission developer, the one who brought the good news out to the Gentiles. Yeah, we hear today in his letter from 1 Corinthians, he says, that beforehand he's commending them for how well they had stuck to the traditions that he had taught them. But then we got the part of our lesson. And he goes, but for this I do not commend you. Because apparently they were messing around at the Lord's Supper. Now it was a little different than we have now. It was a whole meal. But apparently the rich people were getting there first, you know, because they got off work early. And they were going ahead and they were eating and drinking and having a good old time. And then the poor working saps, they finally get there and all the food's gone and there's nothing left for them. The very meal that's supposed to unite people was dividing them. And it would be great if that was the last time God's people were divided. But have you ever been in a church? Because see, there's all kinds of divisions in the church that you'll find. There's money issues. There's worship changes. And then there's the color of the carpet that people will be divided about. Or how we're going to paint the walls. Or money issues. Or then there's going to be what time we should have this meeting. Or what time we should have worship. And then did I mention there's going to be money issues? And Josh, those are the easy divisions to deal with. Because in case you've been under a rock in the last few months, we are in the most difficult time anybody that has ever been alive has experienced. In a time that we should be coming together, and we need to come together as God's people and step up and say, you know what, in the world that we don't know what's going on, we know who's got us. It is at this time that we feel even more divided than ever. We're divided not only by our opinions about what COVID-19 is and what it means to us and whether we should wear a mask or whether we shouldn't wear a mask. We're divided by our gender. We're divided by our sexuality. We're divided by our politics. And yes, most certainly, we are divided by our race. This is the church to which you have been called. You, a fallen, broken sinner, called to lead fallen, broken sinners. And it's not easy, because sometimes their brokenness will cut one another. Sometimes their brokenness will cut you. Sometimes your brokenness will cut them. But you see, the truth is, ministry would be so much easier if it weren't for the people. But the reality is, that's exactly why we do ministry. Because we have a God who loves those people, who sent His Son to those fallen, broken sinners so that they can be redeemed, so that we can all be redeemed. And it's your calling to go and share that good news to a world that so desperately needs it. That's what you're called to do. So I've got some advice for you today, Josh. When those times happen, when people are getting cut by the brokenness around you, look to the hills. I'm going to read again the words of Psalm 121, where the psalmist writes, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will neither slumber. He will keep Israel, will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. Josh, when things get difficult, and people of God, when things get difficult, look to the hills. That's where your help would come from, because that's where God will send it. And sometimes that help may come in the form of colleagues. Remember that you are not in ministry by yourself. Lean on the advice of your brothers and sisters around you. Don't be an island unto yourself. For one, it's a difficult thing that you need people that understand. And also, it's not nearly as fun. And also, God will send you help in the form of your family. I mean, look, there are no wiser people in this world than the spouse of pastors. I know this because I'm married to one and I was raised by another one. Listen to what your family says. Listen to what your friends say. But most importantly, look to the hills and find your comfort, your guidance by God. Don't forget to spend every day in prayer and devotion. It's so easy to get mixed out and knocked out of the way with all the busyness of life. Take some time every day to listen to God, because that's where your help will come from. That's where all of our help will come from. In times of sickness, in times of unhappiness, in times of division, we must always remember to look to the hills. God bless you, Josh. Amen.